Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this message would be a blessing to you.
Stress leads to praying north or south. We did pray in that moment because I really was stressed, and we felt like God said south. So I drove to Flagler Beach. I'd never heard of Flagler Beach. This is February of 2023. Drove into Ripple co-working space, did the interview, realized because of all the stress, I hadn't had a cup of coffee yet that morning. So I looked up what's the best coffee shop in town, and I found myself walking. So I walked from Ripple down here, didn't even see the sign on the building. I was so in need of coffee. I just walked right in these doors, and all of a sudden I see all these chairs. I was like, this is a church. And we had a conversation. I mean, Yes Coffee was in here at the time, so shout out Yes Coffee. They won my search for the best coffee and continue to win my heart for best coffee. But had a cup of coffee. I called my wife on the walk back to Ripple. I said, I know where we're going to church this Sunday. And at this point, we had lived 550 nights in an RV traveling the country for the ministry that I get the chance to lead. And this is a picture of our girls. Our youngest had lived basically her whole life in an RV. And we had been praying and wondering, God, like, what's next? What's the next chapter for our family? And we visited the church. Then we went to Jacksonville for this ministry event. We came back and we changed our schedule three different times to fully plant ourselves in this community at Coastal Family Church. And because of Pastor Val, Pastor Rod, and you guys, and the family welcome that we experienced, we actually left here after 11 weeks, got kind of our orders, things in order, put our stuff in a pod, and we moved here January 1st. This is our home now. Because of this moment, it's crazy. It really is crazy. This moment of prayer leading to finding a good cup of coffee, leading to finding a church, leading our lives to be forever changed. So we're thankful. We're very thankful. Quick question for everyone here. How many of you heard of the Murph workout? Anyone ever heard of? Okay, a few hands. Not that many of you. The Murph challenge, inspired by Navy SEAL Michael Murphy, who actually died, was killed in combat. And to honor him and honor others who have protected our country, the Murph workout now is usually on Memorial Day. It's a 1 mile run followed by 100 pull-ups, followed by 200 push-ups, followed by 300 air squats, followed by another mile run. And it's not just straight up that. You have to wear a 20-pound weight vest. So you add 20 pounds of weight. Now, I had never taken on this challenge, but I was about to turn 40 years old. This is 2 years ago. I was about to turn 40. And I typically will never take on a challenge without inviting other people to join me for that challenge, because I'll give up. Without other men, without a community around me, I don't take on hard challenges like that. So I invited a bunch of friends from around the country. 30 dads said, yes, we'll join you this random February day. I didn't tell anyone it was my birthday. I just said, we're going to train, and this Saturday in February, we're going to do the Murph. So we all trained. The difference was we didn't wear a 20-pound vest. Because we're all dads, we use the weight of our children. I think there's a couple pictures here. I had my daughter on my shoulders for the run, and then had a daughter strapped, my baby was strapped to me for the pull-ups. I was doing air squats with my girl. So basically, we use the weight of our kids. Now, we did not, I did not carry the weight of my kids for all of the 100 pull-ups, all of the 200 push-ups, the 300 air squats, just enough for some good photos. And then I was like, there's no way. Now, I have a buddy who took it on and did it the whole thing with the full weight, but I did not do that. So here's what we're talking about today, though. We're not talking about adding weight. You can add weight, add resistance to build more strength, build more perseverance, build more muscle. You can add weight. But in life, I think without even trying, weight is added to our life. Weights and burdens, and day by day, year by year, we actually add more weight. That's the default, is adding weight. God's heart for each of us is that we would walk weightless. That's his heart, that we would walk in freedom. And this is what I mean by that. Let's take a moment and just think about for a second, what weight are we carrying today? We're in church today. What weight do we feel? What burdens are pressing us down? What stresses are weighing heavy? Are there worries that just feel like, man, I'm worrying a lot right now? Are you walking with a layer of heaviness today? Is there an area of your life that maybe is unseen? Your friends, your family, people don't see it, but you know that's heavy right now. I'm carrying that and it's heavy. Is there an area you feel stuck and you feel like, man, God has not answered this prayer yet? I'm trusting him, but he hasn't answered it yet. Sometimes I think the waiting on God, the waiting for a miracle, the waiting for an answered prayer actually can be weighty. It can add weight. This is a picture of how I make a cup of coffee in the morning. I'll weigh out my coffee beans with this Chemex system. I'll weigh out about 32 grams of coffee, about 650 grams of water, and I'll pour over a cup of coffee. And the scale in this picture here is designed to weigh coffee beans in light amounts, very little bit of water. It is not designed for me to step on, to weigh me. If I step on that scale, it will crush and break and destroy that scale. Some of us today, as we're thinking about the theme of weight and burdens, we're thinking, man, I have way too much. The scale would be destroyed. If you actually took what I'm carrying today and you weighed it out, it would destroy the scale. That's a real fact. And God's heart for us is not that we would walk with that weight. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Real simply, our invitation is to come to Jesus. You're in church today. Great news. You chose to come and be in God's presence and learn and worship. God's promise to us, we come to Jesus. His promise is he gives rest to the weary and burdened. Let me expand on that verse and go Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. And just read this with me. These verses, this is in the Passion, or this is in the Message paraphrase translation. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." What a promise. What a promise. So 9 years ago, my life looked very different than it looks today. I lived in Minnesota 9 years ago. My wife and I had one daughter, and she was a year and a half old. And she was walking, she was talking, and we thought it's time to give some responsibilities, to empower our daughter, to take on a little bit of the work in the kitchen. Would you guys agree? Yes. So we chose to empower her to start with. You can set your own spot at the table. So we had her plastic dishes, her plates, her cups, bowls, plasticware in a little corner kitchen cabinet. So there's this cabinet hutch in the corner of our kitchen. We had a round kitchen table, and there's this cabinet, and she's got this little door she opens, and it's time for her to set the table. And one day we had my wife's grandmother over, and so she's my daughter's great-grandma. We call her Gigi. She was almost 90 years old. She's sitting at the table right here, and we encourage our daughter, go set your spot at the table, kind of this proud parent moment. So she runs over. Have anyone met my four daughters? They're passionate. They're passionate. They bring their whole hearts to any situation, right? So my little daughter, again, this is our oldest, she runs over and she goes to pull the cabinets. And I should explain, above that cabinet door is three other shelves, and each have half-gallon mason jars filled with beautiful cooking supplies like rice and sugar and flour. And we didn't have enough room in the cabinets in our kitchen for everything, so we thought this will look nice. We'll just set these above on these shelves, and this is her little cabinet door. So she runs over, and she gives it a tug harder than usual. And it takes that whole cabinet over. Now, I was standing about 10 feet this way. I had time. I have long arms. So I was able to catch the cabinet from falling on her. I was not able to catch all those glass mason jars. They came raining down on my little daughter. So I caught it, glass is raining down. I pushed the cabinet back up. I pushed it too hard. I swoop up my daughter like this. It rebounds off the wall, comes back on the table, flips the table up on its side. And there is a cabinet, a flipped on its side table. And there is an explosion of 15 to 20 huge glass mason jars exploded over, not just the kitchen, but way out into the living room. Like the glass, debris, chaos, destruction fills my kitchen. I look across where the table used to be, and Gigi, her eyes are bigger than I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've never seen them that big to this day. Gigi is stone-faced, silent, not sure if her heart's beating. Behind Gigi is my wife, and she is the exact opposite of Gigi. She is screaming as loud as I've ever heard her scream. So I'm holding my daughter, silent Gigi, very loud wife, and I'm checking, like, is she bruised? Is she bleeding? What did her eyes look like when I look right in the eyes of my daughter? You know, trying to gauge, was there an impact? Did she get hit by one of these mason jars? Miraculously, my daughter was not hit by any of those falling mason jars. And I was able to have my wife throw me a pair of shoes, put my shoes on, and carry my daughter, set up a little card table, help my wife and Gigi over to have dinner. The next 2 hours, they're having dinner in the living room while I am on my hands and knees cleaning up broken glass and all the other chaos and debris that's in this zone. Months later, I spent 2 hours plus more time after she was in bed. I cleaned that place like any loving father would. Months later, guess what continued to appear in our kitchen and living room? It is amazing how glass just keeps coming back time and time and time again. So here's why I want to paint this picture. The mess, the debris, this crazy chaos of a kitchen full of broken glass. Many of us are carrying weight today that we talked about already. There's a weight, there's a burden, there's some pain that we're feeling today. Some of it could be from decade after decade, could be years and years ago, long time ago, and you still feel that pain and that heaviness today. Some of us, the crash, the destruction, and this doesn't even have to be your fault. It's something that happened to you. You're feeling, maybe it happened a year ago or two. It's more recent past, but there was a crash. There was something that happened that was heavy and hurtful. You're feeling it today. You're feeling that weight today. And some of us, we are in a place where we feel the heaviness and we feel top heavy, like that corner hutch cabinet. We feel top heavy. We're like, this is not going to go well for me with the weight that I'm carrying today. I am vulnerable for destruction. I am wobbly. I am not steadied. Some of us, that's the place we show up today with is I think there's a crash, there's pain coming because of all the weight that I'm carrying. And it doesn't matter if it's one of those or a combination of those, this is God's heart. God is a loving father and he's outlined some promises for all of us today. And he's invited us to come to him and he wants to remove the weight that we're carrying. God is not smiling at our disasters and he is not smiling that we're walking through this pain. His heart for us is freedom and his invitation is that we walk with him. So I focus today's message on walking weightless. And we're going to basically just take a verse and a half. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and half of verse 2. I'm going to walk through kind of five ways that we can walk weightless and experience God's freedom that he has for us today. So you can look this up if you want. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, or you can just read along on the screen. Let's read it together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. When I read a couple verses like that, I'm like inspired. I'm like, let's go. But I'm like, okay, what did it say again? So I turn the verse, I turn this into bullet points. I have to turn Bible verses into bullet points so I can remember this. So this is the Zog bullet version of that, of those verses. So here you go. I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I throw off everything that hinders. I throw off the sin that so easily entangles. I run with perseverance and I fix my eyes on Jesus. So our position is we're surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. Our past, we're going to throw off everything that hinders from our past. Our present is the sin that so easily entangles. We got to throw that off too. Our purpose is we're going to run with perseverance. We're going to run with purpose. And our perspective is we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let me take one of these at a time. I'm not going to go super deep, but I'm going to take one of these at a time and unpack how we can walk weightless. So let's start with a position. Our position, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That feels to me like the throwaway line. It's like, there's nothing action of what I should do here. It's just you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Okay, what's next? We got to hold here for a second. It's referencing to the chapter before. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith hall of fame. And this person did this thing. And with great faith, they changed this. And look what God did. And this person, though it makes no sense to build an ark, built an ark. And then this happened because that happened. This person, Sarah, it made no sense. It's impossible to have a baby. She had faith. And look, God changed the whole nation. So it basically goes person by person. I mean, down to Joseph and Gideon and Samson and 17 others. History. We can open our Bibles when it comes to our position of being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. All we have to do is open our Bibles and start reading through the men and women of faith. And that brings faith into my heart when I read about it. We can look all through history, all through the Bible for the faithful. And we can be anchored and encouraged by those stories. We can also look forward. So that's history. We can look forward to heaven. It says that all of heaven rejoices when you choose to follow Jesus. And there are the faithful in heaven. There are the angels. There's God in heaven who is cheering for us. The great cloud of witnesses in heaven is cheering for us. We can look back at history, forward to heaven. But we also can build into our great cloud of witnesses in the here and now. We actually can build into friendships, into community. We can plant ourselves here in a local church and we can grow friendships and mentors and those people and their stories of faith and their Jesus stories of look what God did will help position me to be anchored and secure and know that God is faithful, that he doesn't want me to walk with weight, and he can bring more freedom into my life today. So that cabinet in the corner of the kitchen with a $2 anchor bracket in 2 minutes of my time, I could have secured the top of that cabinet so it didn't come crashing down. I think that our position of being anchored to the faithful and know the stories of look what God's done before, our position of being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses is the steadying anchor that keeps us steady so we're not wobbly and about to crash when weight comes into our life. So that's where we start. We start with position. We're surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. Let's move into our past. I throw off everything that hinders. Throw off requires action. This is not a let go of. We got to let go of this. I throw it off. It takes action required. We think back to the kitchen disaster, the debris zone of broken glass. Any loving father is going to take action and take time to clean up the debris in that kitchen so that it doesn't bring pain to their child who would stumble into that mess later. There's no way that I'm going to just sweep under a rug that destruction, that pain. And in the same way, no loving mom or dad, no leader, no, none of us are going to just quickly move past pain because it comes back up. Just like that broken glass appears, it comes back. The Passion Translation of Hebrews 12:1 says, let go of every wound that has pierced us. Some of this stuff, it's not caused by something I did intentionally. I've been hurt by someone or something. There's wounds that have pierced us, and we're invited. God wants to lovingly invite us to look back through our story at the things we've done, the mistakes we've made, the sins, the ways we've been hurt. Any loving father would take careful time to clean up that mess. And I just believe God's heart for us is healing from our past so we can move into the future with his purposes and move in weightless. Have you guys ever stepped on a piece of glass before? Anyone ever had a piece of glass stuck in their foot? It's not good. You don't step on a piece of glass and then, oh, I'll just go take the trash out. I'm okay. I'll continue to play this game with my family. If you have a piece of glass in your foot, it takes everything. All your attention goes to getting that glass out of your foot. I think in some ways, we might be living our lives with broken glass stuck in our feet, and we're trying to walk forward, and we're limping, and we're hurting, and it doesn't make any sense because God wants to take that weight. He wants to take that pain. We can throw off everything that hinders. God was right there when that pain happened. He knows your past wounds, and he knows that there's still pain moving forward, and he wants to bring healing. He wants to bring healing. I believe that forgiveness is the path forward. We welcome God's forgiveness. We forgive ourselves, and we forgive others. Forgiveness is the path forward. You have an amazing story to live, and your Heavenly Father is gently welcoming you to experience God's freedom and walk without the weight of your past. Now, a couple months after that kitchen explosion of glass, I walk through my kitchen, and I get another piece of glass stuck in my foot. Step on that piece of glass. My first reaction is pain. Very quickly after I feel that pain, my response and my feeling is gladness. Why would I feel glad to have stepped on a piece of glass? My little 1.5-year-old is not going to step on that piece of glass. Because when I find that piece of glass, even though it caused me pain, she is going to avoid the pain because I experienced it. Guys, this is God's heart for all of us. It doesn't matter if we're married, it doesn't matter if we have kids, it doesn't matter if we're single, it doesn't matter if we're a grandparent, it doesn't matter what stage we're in. The pain that we experience, if not healed by a loving Heavenly Father, will get passed on and hurt other people in our sphere of influence. God's heart for us, God's heart is that we receive healing and that we can step forward with gladness knowing, He's working something out in this area. He's bringing healing. As a loving father, he's like, I'm with you in that pain, and I want to see you healed. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because of Jesus, we can walk in freedom. He died for us, and walking weightless requires that we look into our past and we throw off that weight. We throw off those things that hinder and burden. So we've gone through two sections. Our position is surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. Our past is we're going to throw off everything that hinders. Let's move into our present. So our present is I throw off the sin that so easily entangles. The default is that we drift towards entanglement with sin. That's the default, is we're moving towards, we don't move towards purity. We don't move towards righteousness. The default, it says, it so easily entangles. There is a battle at play, and we have to throw it off. And I just believe this, like, we actually, if by just saying, don't do this, by with sin, stay away, don't do, any coach or parent that uses the don't do or no tactic of, no, not that, don't do this, don't do that, stop that, stop that, like, that tactic only works a little bit as a parent, as a coach. Now, if you actually give that child a bigger yes, if you help them with a better, bigger vision of what the yes is, that moves them from this area of struggle to a better outcome. Freedom from the entanglement of sin needs a bigger yes. I don't think it's possible to throw off the sin that so easily entangles without a mission that you're moving towards, a mission that stirs you up and has your heart, and you're like, I'm going there. This is not okay to be entangled in sin, because that's not God's best for me. He has a better yes for me. I'm gonna jump right into the next section because they tie so closely. Our present of being free and throwing off the sin that so easily entangles is really tightly connected with our purpose. I run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Purpose, running. This is a forward-leaning, resistance-battling posture. The paraphrased version of that verse says, then you will be able to run life's marathon with passion and determination. It doesn't say you'll be able to run life's 1 mile jog. It says marathon race. Okay, it's gonna be hard. It says right there, it says this is gonna take perseverance. We should expect that it's gonna be hard, but man, there's purpose in the hard, in the doing. And as an example, just thought it'd be helpful to share with you a little bit about what I get to do. The ministry I lead is around intentional fatherhood, but the events that we host around the country are called Fathers for the Fatherless. That's why I was traveling through this area up to Jacksonville for an event. So for 6 years, I've been inviting men to join a mission that's really hard, for a purpose that's at the center of God's heart. It's called Fathers for the Fatherless. We've had about 900 men say yes to a 100-mile bike ride or a triathlon or an obstacle course race. And actually, several of our men here at Coastal joined me for the Jacksonville Super Spartan event a couple months ago. So we do these hard events as men, and we do them as a team, and this is basically practice. We're practicing doing something that takes perseverance. We're rallying as men around a cause, a mission, a purpose that matters. And we now we've had 900 guys. We've raised almost $900,000 for our partners who directly serve the fatherless. But what we're doing is we're giving guys a sampling of living and doing a hard thing for a bigger vision that matters. And what we've seen is it translates into marriage, into parenting, into work and relationships. Because we've gone and done that hard thing physically, we're actually ready to take on other areas. I think James 1:27 really ties this up well, and this is one of our core verses as the ministry. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the widows and orphans in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So this is a setup saying this matters. It's what he calls pure and faultless religion. It says, look after the widows and orphans. And it doesn't stop there though. It doesn't stop there. It jumps to the other side of, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So when we have a mission that we're going after that matters, like helping fatherless kids, when we have a fire within our hearts of like, this really matters, it actually is it's the unlocking of freedom from the sin that so easily entangles. Do you guys catch this? So the presence of like seeing freedom, throwing off the sin that so easily entangles, is connected to the purpose of, I've got a vision, I've got a mission bigger than myself. I wouldn't mess with this because this matters so much to me and it matters so much to God. So we've had a chance to kind of sample and try this out with a bunch of men around the country. Looking forward to more events in this area, more of these Fathers for the Fatherless events. Let's recap. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's our position. Our past, we're throwing off everything that hinders. We're moving to our present. We're going to throw off that sin that so easily entangles. Then we're going to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. We're going to have purpose. We're going to go after a purpose that matters, a bigger yes. This is the final section here. I fix my eyes on Jesus, our perspective. What has your focus? What are you dialed into? What are you dreaming about? What are your goals centering around? Are you finding yourself like fixated on Jesus or other things? And this is so huge when it comes to walking weightless, is if we focus on Jesus, we're moving towards freedom and not carrying more weight. It's so easy when we focus on other things to keep accumulating weight. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So whatever we're treasuring, that's gonna grow more passion, more heart, more of your, you're gonna pursue that thing. If you're a parent or if you're a grandparent and you look at the little kids or grandkids in your life, you can gauge their perspective on, are their eyes shining? Do you see shiny eyes around you? And anytime we see, as a parent, if I see my four daughters with like dullness in their eyes are not shining, I have to be introspective and say, what is it about me that might be causing their eyes not to shine brightly? Here's the for me, this is the trick, is gratitude. When I focus on what God has done, I find myself focused more on Jesus, and I find my daughters following their dad's lead and focusing more on Jesus. And the way we do this, those 2.5 years in the RV, we create, we call them remembrance lists. So a piece of paper with, we list out everything that we saw God do, Jesus stories, stories that we're thankful for. When we left those 11 weeks here in Flagler Beach, we left town in the RV, we made a list of 86 specific things that we saw God do in those 11 weeks. These are not all like big prayers that God answered. Some of these are just someone came into our life that we had never met before and they were a gift from God. We capture them. We look at our photos and through our calendar and say, what are all the things? Gratitude stirs my heart to have a perspective fixed on Jesus. And I think it will work for all of us if we just take time to write down, look at God, look what he's done. Yeah. The weight of this world will just keep adding. It will just keep adding and we have to fight against it. John 10:10 says, the thief, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. So there's a battle at play here. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy our perspective off of Jesus onto worries, burdens, weights, things of this world. But it says the second half of that verse, John 10:10, I have come, Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. The invite is to let's actually not just get back to okay. God has a better than okay. He has abundance for us. We just have to fix our eyes on Jesus. So we've moved from position, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. We've moved into our past of, we throw off everything that hinders. We move to our present, we're throwing off the sin that so easily entangles. We move into purpose. We're gonna run with perseverance. We're running, we're not coasting. And then we fix our eyes on Jesus. That's our perspective. We lock our eyes on Jesus and we say, I'm gonna be thankful. I'm gonna tell stories of what God has done. Now Joey, just a couple weeks ago, he ended his message and he said, what does this all mean on Monday? How does this change us? And I asked that question. I'm praying through the same question because this message I wrote for me, I need more of this. And I wrote it this way. How does what I just heard change the way that you live and you love tomorrow? Inspiration does not equal impact. A church community that's inspired does not automatically lead to lives transformed. And for me, guys, I need a bigger vision. I need a bigger why for why I should walk in freedom. I need a bigger yes. So just the areas of Hebrews 12 that we went through, just for myself, I still might not take the hard step to step into experiencing all of God's freedom, all of God's invitation to walk weightless. I actually need a bigger vision than that. I need to know how it affects others beyond myself. So let me zoom out for just a moment. There's kind of a lot of things on the screen here, but this zoom out helps give me the bigger yes. So God's initial plan is that we walk weightless, walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. His good initial plan is that walking weightless. Then there was resistance. There was the weight of sin that brought separation from God. Then there was God's great rescue plan that Pastor Rod preached about Easter Sunday, this great rescue. Like God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to die for us, that we could walk weightless, that we could walk in freedom. Then there's another round of resistance. And this resistance, I think, is the past couple thousand years, and it's church communities like this one who normalize following Jesus without experiencing freedom. Some of you would maybe nod along. I've been in that circle of Christian friends. I've been in that place where it's just normal to Christians have to carry weight. And it gets heavier and heavier, and you can walk with a limp, and that's the way it works. And I'm so strongly believe, and we've been reading about it today, God's heart and your invitation is that we walk weightless. That's not our hope. Our hope is not just to get by. Our hope is God taking all these burdens, all this weight, so we can walk in freedom. Here's the last step, though. Multiplying weightlessness through generational freedom. The bigger vision around this theme of freedom and walking weightless is found in this multiplication principle in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. This is one of the anchor verses for the ministry that I get to lead. Deuteronomy 30, 19 says, "I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your kids might live." It's not choose life so that you may live. It's a direct promise to our kids and grandkids. It's a choice that we all get to make. Let me show you how this multiplication principle of weightlessness works its way out. So 6.5 years ago, we started this ministry. I started this ministry called Dad Awesome. It's a fatherhood ministry, and our vision, our prayer, is that we'd activate dads to lead with wonder. We'd activate dads to say, "This is a gift. Fatherhood is a gift. I'm going to bring my whole heart to pursuing the hearts of my children." We want to resource churches with resources and events, like I mentioned. So we launched this ministry, and I dropped episode number one of the Dad Awesome podcast 6.5 years ago. The next day, my dad, he rushed to the hospital with my mom, and I got a call, panic call. He's rushing to the hospital. So day one, I launched the ministry. The next day, he's rushing to the hospital. 10 days later of staying in the hospital, we found out he had lung cancer and brain cancer. And my dad and I had a journey that we got to walk out where my dad chose life, that Deuteronomy 30. He chose life by, we experienced healing, we experienced forgiveness, we experienced reconciliation. There was things that were very heavy that God brought freedom and healing, and the weight that I was carrying got a whole lot lighter because my dad pressed in those 100 weeks. The first 100 weeks of this fatherhood ministry, he was the biggest cheerleader for Dad Awesome. He listened to all the episodes. He prayed for me. He encouraged me. And episode 100 of the Dad Awesome podcast launched, and the next day, my dad went home to heaven. So the 100 weeks of foundation laying launch of a fatherhood ministry was the 100 weeks of launch pad of my dad being in heaven. What a gift. My dad chose life. Now, 2 years later, this is 2 years ago, so it was 4 years ago my dad went to heaven, I had a mentor encourage me to write a letter to my dad. He said, write a letter, take one side of the piece of paper and write down, "Dad, these are all the things you got right." And I wrote this letter. I'm gonna share a few of these things with you. I wrote this to my dad. "You loved my mom. You stayed married. You took us to church. You welcomed others into our home. You shared with others. You provided financially. You took ownership of your job and you didn't complain about circumstances. You showed me what visionary resilience looks like. You cheered for us kids. You took us on vacations. You invited us to learn new skills and you challenged us." That's about half of what I wrote on that side. "Dad, these are the things you got right." The other side of the piece of paper is, "Dad, these are areas that were hurtful. This was painful. This brought weight, like it was heavy. There were some burdens because of this or that. Dad, like these things were hard." Now, the cool thing about the other side, I'm not gonna read the other side to you guys, but my dad and I actually had a chance to experience healing and forgiveness and reconciliation for those things on the other side of the piece of paper. But it was still important. 2 years later, I wrote that list. And you can take that letter and do multiple things with it. A lot of people could bury it, you could burn it, you could do whatever to kind of say, "God, I trust you for this." But I'm a little bit weird. And I took a rock the size of a laptop computer, about a 25, 30 pound rock. And with a Sharpie marker, I wrote on the rock words that expressed that first side of the letter. "Dad, you got these areas right. Thank you, thank you." Flipped the rock over and wrote words with a Sharpie marker of like, "Dad, these are areas that were heavy. These were heavy, they caused pain." And when no one was looking, I snuck away to the lake with my rock. Didn't tell anybody. And I swam probably the equivalent distance of the new Flagler Beach Pier. So probably 900 to 1,000 feet. I swam to the middle of this lake in northern Wisconsin, holding this rock. Now, if anyone's ever tried swimming with a 30 pound rock in their hands, that's a tough swim. I'm swimming, I'm struggling, I'm swimming, I'm struggling, I'm praying, "God, thank you for my dad. God, thank you that he chose life. God, thank you for those 100 weeks. So grateful. God, thank you for forgiveness, for the part that I played in some of this pain. God, thank you that I can forgive my dad. Thank you. thank you. I get to the middle of the lake. I open my eyes and I just bless my dad and I thank him and I forgive him and I say, God, I trust you for all these things. And I let the rock go, tumbles into the darkness. The swim back, very different than the swim out. The swim back, the lightness, the joy, the peace. Oh my goodness, what a gift, that swim back. And then I walk out and talk about, like, when I think of the theme, the title of today, walking weightless, I walked out of that lake. It's amazing when we trust God for these heavy things, these weights, when we trust God, when we choose to forgive, when we press into what was hard. That swim was hard. I pressed in, and the joy and the peace and the weightlessness and the freedom that came. Such a gift. Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God's gift to me was peace and joy and weightlessness and freedom as I walked out of that lake. My heart this morning, right in this moment, my heart is, I think that God has more freedom for me. I wrote this message because I want to experience more of God's freedom. I want to experience walking weightless to new levels. And I think some of us in the room, you guys are nodding along like, I think this is his heart for you. I know this is his heart for you. I think you want the same thing. And here's my prayer. Deuteronomy 30, life or death, blessings or curses. I want my daughters to live. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help my four little girls walk weightless and experience God's freedom. And my heart and my prayer is the bigger yes is clear for all of us today. It's not just about us. It doesn't matter if you have kids and grandkids. If you are single, you have people looking to you in your job, in your neighborhood, in your school. Like the way we walk, the way we step into God's freedom will help unlock freedom for others. The bigger yes is this goes beyond us. It goes to other people who are in proximity, who are watching our lives and our decision to press in and experience God's freedom. I'm gonna pray that the spotlight of God's Holy Spirit would shine on one of these areas, maybe multiple, but I'm praying that God would just shine the spotlight of his Holy Spirit into one of these areas for you. Is it position? Is it reminding you, stirring you up? You have a cloud of witnesses. The faithful have come before and they're in heaven cheering for you. So it might be that's gonna bring weightlessness. Maybe it's your past and God is shining the spotlight of his Holy Spirit to, man, there's areas of your story that are painful. And that you're still carrying weight, and God wants to set you free from that. And it might be with a pastor or a mentor or a Christian counselor. It took my wife and I multiple Christian counselors to find the right person who's filled with the Holy Spirit that could guide. It might be that, though. It takes great courage to see a counselor. It takes courage, but man, it can unlock freedom forward. Maybe the spotlight of his Holy Spirit is there's actually an area of entanglement with sin. You're present, and that sin is adding weight daily. God wants to set you free with a bigger purpose. Maybe it's actually purpose. You actually need that thing that's just burning inside of you of like, I have the thing God created me to do. I'm gonna step in with my whole heart, not even touching the sin that entangles because I'm fully alive. Or maybe it's, I want that, but I haven't experienced it yet. And maybe it's a purpose God drops in your heart, or you see somebody else running after Jesus and you could join them. Wouldn't that be amazing? You could just join their purpose and say, I'm all in. And maybe the spotlight of his Holy Spirit's gonna be perspective. We've been focused on the weights and the burdens and other things of this world. And God's like, I'm right here. Fix your eyes, fix your focus, fix your perspective on me. So let's go to prayer right now. I'm gonna pray over all of us that God shows us what's the area we can step into. God, thank you that you reveal yourself as a loving Father. And thank you that your love is not tied with how we performed this week, what we accomplished this week. Your love is not changed with how well we live or how much we stumbled, God. You're just like, I'm for you, I love you, I have forgiven you, I'm with you in that pain. God, that's your heart. We believe that's your heart. And I know, God, that your heart is that we walk weightless, that we walk in freedom, that we step out of carrying these burdens. Thank you that you were right there with us when whatever happened. And thank you that your heart for us and through your strength, we can step into experiencing your love, your forgiveness, your freedom, your lightness. So right now, Father, I pray for the spotlight of your Holy Spirit to shine into each of our hearts and minds. Would you nudge us gently and lovingly? Would you nudge us and show us this is the area for me that I can step into more freedom? And I pray in Jesus' name for courage, that each person who's hearing my voice right now would have courage to take that next step, to talk to that pastor, to talk to that person, to go get prayer, to see a counselor, to step into freedom that you have for us. So thank you that you are alive and active, and thank you that you are moving right now in this moment. We trust you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. That's right,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jeff. Just while we're in this moment, I just want to... This is news that we can use. As we've gone through the theme of walking with God through this year, it's good that we deal with this baggage, deal with things, because it has consequences, because God wants us to be the vessel through which divine favor flows. He doesn't want vessels that are clogged up with stuff. And I shared it just recently, and I've shared it from the pulpit before. It's about my mom, crippled with arthritis, couldn't walk, in pain. Her late husband, my dad, had passed away many years ago, and she never spoke about him. Never. Never badmouthed to us, 9 kids. Never heard that. And one day the pastor came to her and says, "Mrs. Palmer, you never talk about your husband." Mom said, "There's nothing to talk about." Well, my dad was a hard man. Didn't know Jesus. Made my mom's life hell. And then he passed away when I was 13. She could never reconcile the hurt that he put her through. And it just stewed inside her, brewed inside her. And he eventually got her late that afternoon to finally bring it, my dad, to prayer and forgive her. Forgive him. And the moment she said the words, she could get up and walk, totally healed and totally free from the pain of arthritis. That's just a practical understanding of the power of the message that was spoken about today. There's stuff we've got to continually bring through and say, "Father, shed your light on this, that deal with it so that I may be free, not only for me, but for those that are around me, for those in the next generation." And then we need to look at that. And I think it'll be good for you to look at, take notes. If you didn't take notes, go and get it online. It's there. Take notes. Rehearse it. Look at it. Watch Holy Spirit do some surgery in your life, especially as we walk with God. It's so important. Because there's no plan B, we are plan A for the surrounds that we find ourselves in, wherever we find ourselves. So we need to do that. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We thank you that you love us so much. You brought this message to us today, and it's a now message. And so, Father, I thank you that we posture our hearts to people that are hearers and doers of your word and not hearers only. So, Father, I thank you for lives transformed, the word that will not return void but accomplish all that it's sent out to do. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I look forward to preaching the word to you next week. But Valerie, in her wonderful sense of humor, come up here, Jeff. Just in case you thought it was all over, I want you to open the gift.
Check it out.
Still trying to replace this broken vase. Praise the Lord. Well, we got time to fellowship. We got time to greet each other. We got time to pray for each other. And if you have prayer needs, come forward. We'll anoint with oil. We'll pray for the needs. But have some coffee, buy some cakes and everything for Puerto Rico, especially the raffle. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great week.